ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Shishuka Uvacha,
Shishuka Uvacha,
Adhastan,
Adhastan.
Actually, I'll just read word for word only. Shishukadeva Goswami said,
Shishukadeva Goswami said,
Adhastan,
Adhastan,
below, Savituru,
the sun
glow,
Yojana,
a measurement equal to 8 miles, Ayutri, 10,000. Swarbhanu, the planet known as Rahu. Nakshatravat, like one of the stars. Charati, is rotating. Iti,
does.
Eke, some who are learned in Puranas. Yah,
which.
Asau,
that.
Amaratvam,
Amaratvam,
a lifetime like those of demigods. Grihatvam, a position as one of the chief planets. Cha,
and
Alabhata,
obtained.
Bhagavat Anukampaya,
by the compassion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Swayam,
personally.
Asura Apasadaha,
the lowest of the
Asuras. Saimikeya,
being the son of Sindhika.
He,
indeed.
Atat
Arha,
not qualified for the position.
Tasya
is Tata, O my dear king. Janma,
birth.
Karmani,
activities.
Cha,
also.
Uparistat,
later.
Vakshamana,
I shall explain.
Translation. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, my dear king, some historians, the speakers of the Puranas say that 10,000 yojanas, which is 80,000 miles, below the sun is the planet known as Rahu, which moves like one of the stars. The presiding deity of the planet, who is the son of Simhika, is the most abominable of all asuras. But although he is completely unfit to assume the position of a demigod or a planetary deity, he has achieved that position by the grace of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Later, I shall speak further about him. Verse number 2, translation. The sun globe, which is a source of heat, extends for 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles. The moon extends for 20,000 yojanas, 160,000 miles. And Rahu extends for 30,000 yojanas, 240,000 miles. Formerly, when nectar was being distributed, Rahu tried to create dissension between the sun and moon by interposing himself between them. Rahu is inimical towards both the sun and the moon, and therefore he always tries to cover the sunshine and moonshine on the dark moon day and full moon night. This is small quote. As stated here, the sun extends from 10,000 yojanas and the moon extends for twice that, or 20,000 yojanas. The word Dwadasha should be understood to mean twice as much as 10 or 20. In the opinion of Vijay Dwaja, the extent of Rahu should be twice that of the moon or 40,000 yojanas. However, to reconcile this apparent contradiction to the text of Bhagavatam, Vijay Dwaja cites the following quotations concerning Rahu. Rahu Soma Ravinam Tu Mandala Dvi Gunoktitam. This means that Rahu is twice as large as Moon, which is twice as large as the Sun. This is the conclusion of the commentator Vijay Bhaja. We will read one more verse, then we will continue. Verse 3. After hearing from the sun and moon, demigods about Rahu's attack, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, engages his bliss, known as the Sudarshan Chakra, to protect them. The Sudarshan Chakra is the Lord's most beloved devotee and is favored by the Lord. The intense heat of its effulgence, meant for killing non-Vaishnavas, is unbearable to Rahu, and he therefore flees in fear of it. During the time, Rahu disturbs the sun or moon, and there occurs what people commonly know as an eclipse. Purport to that. Srila Prabhupada, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is always the protector of his devotees, who are always known as demigods. The controlling demigods are most obedient to Lord Vishnu, although they also want material sense enjoyment. And that is why they are called demigods, or almost godly. Although Rahu attempts to attack both the sun and moon, they are protected by Lord Vishnu. Being very afraid of Lord Vishnu's chakra, Rahu cannot stay in front of the sun and moon for more than a muhurta, or 48 minutes. The phenomenon that occurs when Rahu blocks the light of the sun or moon is called an eclipse. The attempt of the scientists of this earth to go to moon is as demoniac as Rahu's attack. Of course, their attempts will be failure because no one can enter the moon or sun so easily, like the attack of Rahu. Such attempts will certainly be failures.
ज्ञानकलंगस्य ज्ञानंजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयंरूपकदामयं ददाति स्वफलान्तिकम्. हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकानन्दराधिकानन्द नमोऽस्तुते. तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधेवृन्दावनेश्वरी विश्वमानसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. श्रीकृष्णाय चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 राम.
कृष्ण कृष्ण भूतले श्रीमद् भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी के नाम में नमस्ते. सरस्वती देव गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष चरण वाली पार्षद देश करिणे. हरे कृष्ण. So we are starting with a new chapter, the subterranean heavenly planets. Now we are going down under. And then we'll later in a couple of chapters we'll be discussing about hellish planets. That will be very interesting topic. I'm waiting for that. But now currently in this chapter, the position of Rahu, the activities of Rahu and the effect of Rahu was discussed, which is 10,000 yojanas or 80,000 miles below sun. And then later other descriptions are also given related to this topic and other lower planets. So we see in this verse, in these three verses which we discussed, Sukhdeva Swami is giving a hint. He's giving a hint to what will come later in the 8th canto, amazing pastime of churning of milk ocean that will be explained by Sukadeva Goswami later in the 8th canto, and he gives a hint. In the first verse, towards the end only, he says, later I shall further speak about him, about the story of the Rama, but we will see it today only. So, we see, approximately because the 6th canto going on, and Parikshit Maharaj mostly would be in his 3rd or 4th day, sitting on the bank of Ganges, about to leave his body in the next 3 or 4 days maximum, depending on which day was going on for, during the time of 5th canto was happening. And previously, in previous chapters, in great detail, we have heard about the whole cosmos, all very intricate details about the planetary system. It is so confusing that even after understanding with all the slides and graphics, it's still very hard to. If someone asks what did you learn, it's very difficult to repeat it. Few words only they remember. Because it's very technical. And if you see, it's completely from the material cosmos, it's completely because of the material creation. One has to go through a great study to really capture the whole essence of it. And here is Parikshit Maharaj, who is halfway through his last 7 days, and he's very attentively hearing these descriptions and asking questions. And one can really get bewildered that why Parikshit Maharaj is really keen on Nani cosmology, and why Sukadeva Goswami, who is the Acharya for Kirtan, glorification of the Supreme Lord, and Parikshit, who is the Acharya for Shravan, hearing about the Supreme Lord, are discussing something with just the creation. And a very important point comes through, Prabhupada also mentioned in different places, and devotees previously have also discussed, that unless this greatness of Supreme Personality is recorded and understood, it's very hard to remember him at the time of death. Just by mere sentiment, one may not be able to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead unless one understands the position of the Supreme Lord. And the position of the Supreme Lord, from the point of view that he is powerful enough to give shelter, is powerful enough to protect, to take care, and he is the cause of all causes, he is the source of everything. And that's why in great detail this whole description is given, starting from the primary creation, then secondary creation, and then goes on to taking the shelter of the Supreme Personality of God. So we see this whole discussion happening, and now they are discussing about Rahu. Rahu, who is in the one of the verses, it says one of the most abominable of asuras, and there is quite a good description that takes place about Rahu. There's an amazing pastime, there's an amazing story. But before we get into the story, I really want to read one of the bhajan. I'll not sing it. It's such an amazing bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who establishes the position of the Supreme Lord as cause of all causes. Very fascinating bhajan, actually. In Sarnagati book, Sarnagati Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Tumi Sarveshwara Vrajendra Kumar Tomara Ichhaya Vishay Srijan Samhar Tava Ichha Mato Brahma Karina Srijan Tava Ichha Mato Vishnu Karina Palan Tava Ichha Mato Shiva Karina Samhar Tava Ichha Mato Maya Srijay Karagar Tava Ichha Mato Jeeva Janma Maran Samriddhi Nipata Dukha Sukha Samaghatan Miche Maya Baddha Jeeva Asha Pasha Dire Tava Icha Vinu Kichu Koritena Pare Tumi To Rakhaha Ar Palaka Amar Tumara Charana Vina Asana Himar Nija Bala Chesta Prati Bharasa Chariya Tumara Ichaya Achi Nirbhaya Kori Bhakti Vinoda Ati Dina Akinchan Tumara Ichaya Tara Jeeva Numaran. This is the amazing verse Bhaktivinoda Thakur. From this word, if you can catch Tava Icha, Tava Icha. Everything that is taking place in this creation and beyond is just Tava Icha, desire of the Supreme Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this whole bhajan is just glorifying how the Supreme Lord is cause of all causes. Prabodhan Sir Supreme Lord is singing this verse very nice, bhajan very nice, and he is explaining how the Supreme Lord is the primary creator, which we hear from how occurred bit of time. And he basically, according to his will, creation, destruction, annihilation takes place. According to his will, Brahma creates, Lord Shiva annihilates. And he says, according to your will, only divinities take birth and they die. So everything that is taking place in this creation is just the will of the Supreme Lord. And he says, the tiny soul bound up by Maya is vainly struggling in worldly desire. Without your sanction, even that tiny living entity cannot do anything. And then finally he says, you are my only protector and maintainer. Except for your lotus feet, there is no other hope for me. No longer I am confident on my own strength, because if everything is happening by your desire, then I have to depend on you. I become solely dependent on your will. Bhakti Vinod is most poor and his pride has been leveled, because when you understand that everything is tava icha, everything is the desire of the Supreme Lord, then pride settles. Now, in accordance with your will, he lives and dies. He is thinking about himself. So, very nice verse where how by the desire of the Supreme Lord, everything is taking place. And why I thought this verse, this bhajan is very nice, because in the past time, in the second verse also we see how, sorry, in the first verse it says how this most abominable asura, Rahu, has gained the position of a planetary deity. He is one amongst the demigods, even though he is still demoniac in his activities, who tries to basically eat sun and moon. Still, by the will of the Supreme Lord, Rahu has attained the position of a planetary deity. Very interesting pastime goes on. Is related to this means the churning of the milk ocean is happening, Samudra Matham. And lot of different items are coming out of this ocean. One side are the demigods, other side are the demons, the Lord, tortoise, Kurmadev is there. On him is the Mount Meru. Mount Meru, right?
Mandara.
Mandara Mountain, sorry. My Mount Meru is in the. This is called Mount Meru, we are discussing. And then this Vasuki snake is there, who is being used as a churning rope. And now the churning of the ocean is happening. And many different items came, and demigods and demons, based on their need and cooperation, they divided, even though they were very clear what their main agenda is. The agenda was very clear, let the nectar come and then we will see. Till then, we will cooperate. So, it's exactly like, you know, sometimes some politicians throughout the tenure of 4 or 5 years, they cooperate to exploit whoever is in the power. The opposition also is not challenged much, because sometimes opposition can be in power. And then when the election time comes, they fight like cats and dogs. They just speak so ill about each other, because now it's the time, it's the climax to gain next power. But here, at least, the one side are the others who are very much protected by the Lord because of their one quality, and that is that they work as per the will of the Supreme Lord. And they understand that things are happening by based on the Supreme Lord's desire, and that's why they are devatas, they are demigods. Whereas these demons, they have personal agenda and their only goal is just sense enjoyment. Whereas with the demigods, Prabhupada says that sense enjoyment is also one of the agendas, but that's part of it. That's not the complete total mindset they have. They want to serve the Supreme Lord while satisfying their senses. And that's why Prabhupada calls them as Mishra Bhakta. They are mixed devotees. They are demigods. They are almost worldly. So now this journey of the milk ocean is happening. And then nectar appears. And this is the climax. This is what they are waiting for. Dhanvantari, who is the god of medicine, he comes out with his dazzling effulgence, comes with the pot of nectar. And demons who are more powerful at that time, they snatch this pot and they run away. Now demigods, what happened? All the efforts were futile. So much hard work we did, and now the nectar is gone. Oh. And they immediately pray to the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord appears and the Lord says, I do something about it. And something very mystical, as always the Supreme Lord does, which is beyond the calculation of even devatas. He assumed a form so beautiful of a woman that it bewildered even the devatas. Even they started lusting after the Supreme Lord. They were so attractive. Vishnu Chakra Thakur, in one of the purports in the description of the 8th canto 9th chapter, he says that he, Lakshmi, is the most beautiful woman in the entire creation. But the Supreme Lord, when he came in Mohini Murti, even Lakshmi couldn't match up with his beauty. He was so beautiful. Vishnu Chakra Thakur says that this form assumed by the personality of God challenged the goddess of fortune. The goddess of fortune is beautiful, but if the Lord accepts the form of a woman, he surpasses the goddess of fortune in beauty. It is not that because that the goddess of fortune being female is the most beautiful. The Lord is the most beautiful. And he can accept any beautiful goddess of fortune by assuming a female form. So the beauty of the Lord surpasses. And imagine when that form comes in front of you and speaks to you in a very attractive, showing all the symptoms as if she is interested in you. So she went to the demons and started speaking to the demons, and every demon was shivering. Oh my God, how come she's talking to me? She's so beautiful. She's so attractive in her features. They started questioning her, whom do you belong to, dear my father? Everyone is thinking, maybe I'll marry her. And they can see that she's single, she's alone, and I can marry her. And the Lord is also speaking in a very attractive way, very cunning, very captivating. And then the Lord, after speaking, he makes certain comments. Mohini Murti says, I'm just like a prostitute. Why you people are interested in me? And he's purposefully speaking like that so that they feel that he is joking. And then the Lord says, oh, if you really want me to settle your fight, because the demons are constantly fighting. And Prabhupada writes in one of the purports, is that this is the difference between the devotees and the demons. When the devotees get something very important, very attractive, they first want to offer to the Supreme Lord and then take prasad. But the mentality of the demon is that as soon as they get something, they want for themselves, not even their own mates. So the demons were fighting that we will drink, I will drink the nectar first. And there was a fight happening between. And the weaker demons, who saw that this fight is happening between the bigger demons, they came up with their own agenda. And they said, oh, I think we should share it with the demigods also. Because they are not giving. So this whole fight was happening, and then Mohini Murti appears on the scene. And the leader of the demons, they approached her after she was very captivated by her beauty, and they said, can you settle our fight? We are so captivated by her beauty, I think you can settle our fight. And with all the charming words, with all attractive features, Mohini Murti takes one promise from them. And the promise was that I will settle your fight, but only on one condition. No one will question me what I am doing. And let me do what I want to do, the way I want to do. And I settle the fight, and you all will get nectar. Now, just to impress her, just to really appear very, very, not cultured in a sense, but just to really get her on their side, they all said yes. Yes, we agree. You just settle our fight. Because in their mind, everyone is thinking, maybe I'll marry her. She's so attractive. And now what Mohini Murti does, because she has come with a very clear agenda. And even though the Supreme Lord is not partial to anyone, he is equal to all Samaham Sarvabhuteshu. But the Supreme Lord has another duty also. He has to establish religious principles. And to establish religious principles, he cannot just act partially, impartially. He has to act partially. He has to take side in the end, or he has to favor those personalities who follow Dharma. He has to favor those personalities who would abide by his instructions. So, the Supreme Lord, even though he is not partial, and we will later discuss a very nice verse which concludes that pastime, he had to cheat the demigods or the demons, and he had to devise all these plans. So, what Lord does, there was a nice assembly area made, and all the demons they went to take bath. There was yajna done because now the nectar, the time, the most important time of their life is coming. They are going to drink immortal nectar. And this whole big massive assembly hall, the demons are sitting at one place in lines, and at far distance the demigods are sitting. Now, one can question, demons would have asked, right, what are demigods doing in the queue to drink nectar? Mohini Murthy captured them with that also, with her words. Mohini Murthy told them that, see, these are wretched, poor demigods. I just give them tiny and satisfy them, but major portion will come to you all. They are just very poor people. And they have already promised that they have to follow by her instructions. They just cannot say anything to her. And to maintain to keep impressing her, they just can't back off. This is exactly what's happening in their mind. Just to impress, just to maintain their status in front of her, they just can't cancel their vow. They can't just ignore what they promised. And what Mohini does, that she tricks the demigods, the demons, and she goes to the demigods and starts giving nectar. Now, amongst this all demons, there is one demon, Rahu, whose discussion we had, that's what we discussed in this past time also. This Rahu, who is he, even though he is the most abominable of all asura, he is the most intelligent also. He is very intelligent. None of the demons could figure out what is the intention of the Supreme Personality of God. But this demon figures out. And he is so intelligent that he disguises himself, changes his clothes into a beautiful demigod, and nicely goes and sits where sun and moon are sitting. Now, one can again question, how did Supreme Lord didn't find out? He is a super soul, he knows everything. Why the Supreme Lord did not identify what this Rahu is up to? And that's where when the verse says, the first verse says that although he is unfit, completely unfit to assume the position of a demigod or a planetary deity, he has achieved this position by the grace of Supreme Personality of God. By the will of the Supreme Lord, Tava Iksha, by the desire of the Supreme Lord, in this pastime took place. The Supreme Lord knew this Rahu is coming and sitting in the line of demigods. But the Supreme Lord wanted to establish the power of this nectar. How this ambrosial immortal nectar works, and he wanted to establish it. So now he wants to use such an example from the demon side, and he knows Rahu is coming and sitting here. So as soon as Rahu comes, everyone gets the nectar. Mohini Murthy from the pot is giving nectar to everybody, and Rahu, when he drinks the nectar, immediately sun and moon identifies that he is a demon. They started shouting, he is a demon. And Mohini Murthy spoils the whole point. She assumes her Vishnu form, takes the Sudarshan Chakra out. I think in Mohini Murthy only she takes the chakra out, Sudarshan Chakra, and immediately chops off the head of Rahu. Now, it happens so quickly, the whole thing, that the nectar which Rahu drank did not pass through the throat yet. It was still in the throat area. And when the Sudarshan chops off the head, the lower body immediately dies. But now, because the nectar has touched his throat, and this is what the Supreme Lord in Mohini form wanted to establish, the power of this nectar, and that's why the whole journey of the question was happening for us. Rahu's head becomes immortal. Now, this immortality is not the eternality which is in spiritual world, but this is still the creation is there. So, when Devatal itself will be annihilated, what to speak of Rahu? So this is not the immortality from the point of view of how the Supreme Lord is immortal, but this is very, very long duration of life, extremely long duration of life. Rahu gets. Now this nectar is in his mouth. He becomes immortal, and he knows who are my enemies, sun and moon. Sun and moon only caused this. Sun and moon only made this happen. They know Supreme Lord is always partial to their grudge. So that the grudge is towards him anyways. But amongst the devatas, it's the sun and moon who made this whole thing happen, that Rahu's head was chopped. If they wouldn't have interfered and told the Supreme Lord, don't know any Murti, that he is Rahu sitting here, then Rahu's whole body would have become immortal. So out of that animosity, Rahu on full moon or a dark night or a full moon night goes and covers up, swallows up basically. And some places it says that because Rahu doesn't have a lower body, he swallows up the moon or sun when eclipse happens, but he cannot digest because he doesn't have a lower body. So I don't know how much is true. Bhagavatam it doesn't say though. So when Rahu captures, and this is what Surya Grahan, Chandra Grahan is, this is what eclipse is all about. Just for one Muhurta, which is 48 minutes, only he is able to do that because of the fear of the Supreme Lord. If he stays, if he captures or covers up sun and moon more than that, he knows chakra is waiting. So Darshan chakra is waiting, and the Sudarshan chakra can chop the head off. So, so if you see, like we were discussing the whole cosmos the other day, Gopakrishna Prabhu was showing on the projection, many devotees have spoken about it. So, in Bhugavara Varna, this Rahu, who by the grace of the Supreme Lord and by the alignment of Brahmaji, gains the position as equal to a demigod, as a planetary deity, his face, just the head, says Brahma makes his head as one of the planet. And what is the planet? That planet is in the verse number 2, Prabhupada cites a contradiction between Vijayadvaja Acharya and Sukhdev Goswami, where Sukhdev Goswami says that Rahu extends up to 30,000 yojanas, which is 240,000 miles, whereas Vijayadvaja says no, that's not true. It should be 320,000 miles, which is 40,000 yojanas. And he quotes another verse from some other source, some other scripture, to basically prove his contradiction. And it's interesting, these personalities, they, even though they have contradiction, they don't find fault with Sukhdev Goswami. Because Sukhdev Goswami, the first person, only is saying that according to some historians, this is what I have heard. And Vijayadvaja quotes another verse saying that, oh, it's actually a little bit more than what Sukhdev Goswami says in terms of calculation. So now this in Bhugavara Varna, this planet which is granted this position by Lord Brahma as a deity, as a planetary deity itself, it comes in the lowest rung. If you see the Kala Chakra, it's hard to tell without the image, but if you remember, if you have seen those pictures, the images in the slide, it is, there are zodiacs, moon, sun, and then closest to Mount Meru or closest to earth is Rahu in terms of distance. And Prabhupada in many purports, actually in 3-4 different places, in many morning walks also, Prabhupada says that looks like when the moon excavation happened, when they claimed that they went to the moon, looks like they end up going to Rahu. They didn't go to moon because moon is very far. Prabhupada's calculation was there. And Prabhupada makes an interesting comment towards the end of third verse, the purport of the third verse. He says that the way Rahu attacks sun and moon, the desire of demoniac people of this world to go to moon is also a similar mindset. It's to go without qualification. It's to go and again find some resource to exploit. This whole space travel is nothing but finding out more resources, resources are depleting. So to find out new places, more resources, so they are going to different planets. So the mentality is very similar. And that's why Prabhupada compares. He says the attempt of the scientists of this earth to go to moon is as demonic as a house attack. And of course, their attempt will be failure because no one can enter moon or sun so easily. Like the attack of Rahu, such attempts will certainly be failure. So in that Google world, it explains how this whole creation structure is there and very close to Mount Meru comes Rahu planet. And then when eclipse happens, according to science, when sun, moon and Rahu become in straight line, that's eclipse. But according to Rahu, we see that when Rahu tries to swallow or capture, basically cover up sun or moon for 48 minutes out of fear of the Supreme Lord, that is eclipse. So in this whole section of Mohimurti, there is a very amazing verse which concludes, I just want to read that. That whole section. It's verse number 29. And Prabhupada has written an amazing purport to that verse. The verse says, and this explains how the Supreme Lord is working there. He says, the place. Bhagavatam says, the place, the time, the cause, the purpose, the activity and the ambition were all the same for demigods and demons. Churning was happening in a similar area, the desires were same to get the nectar. Practically the purpose was same, the action was same, the time was same, the cause was same, everything was same. But the demigods achieved one result and the demons another. And the reason Bhagavatam gives is because the demigods are always under the shelter of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet. They could very easily drink the nectar and get its result. Whereas the demons, however, not having sought shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, were unable to achieve the result they desire. And an amazing purport Prabhupada writes, I want to finish with this purport. Prabhupada says that in Bhagavad Gita 4.11 it says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Judge who rewards or punishes different persons according to their surrender unto the lotus feet. Therefore, it can actually be seen that all the karmis and bhaktas may work in same place at the same time. Now he brings this whole pastime on practical terms between the devotees and non-devotees in their work areas. May work at the same place at the same time. With the same energy, with the same ambition, they achieve different results. Very interesting. The karmis transmigrate through different bodies in the cycle of birth and death. Sometimes going upwards, sometimes going downwards. Thus suffering the results of their action in the karma chakra, the cycle of birth and death. The devotees, however, because of fully surrendering at the lotus feet of the Lord, are never baffled in their attempts. Although externally they work almost like the karmis, the devotees go back home back to Godhead and achieve success in every effort. The demons or atheists have faith in their own endeavors, but although they work very hard day and night, they cannot get any more than their destiny. The devotees, however, can surpass the reaction of karma and achieve wonderful results even without effort. Prabhupada says, it is said, one's success or defeat in any activity is understood by its result. There are many karmis, now he makes a very strong statement for many so-called devotees. There are many karmis in the dress of devotees. Now, because this is the Rahu's kind of comparison. There are many karmis in the dress of devotee, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can detect their purpose. The karmis who are in dress of devotees, they want to use the property of the Lord for this selfish sense gratification. But a devotee endeavors to use the Lord's property for God's service. This is a comparison. Therefore, a devotee is always distinct from karmis. Bhagavad Gita says, "Ekyasa karmanandata lokaya karmavandana." One who works for Lord Vishnu is free from material world, and after giving up his body, goes back home back to God. Thus, from the results achieved by karmis and devotees, one can understand the presence of the Supreme Personality Godhead, who acts differently for the karmis, jnanis, and then for devotees. So this is a very interesting comparison Prabhupada gives, that we may act exactly same as what the karmi does. And this question many devotees ask also, that I'm working exactly same like my colleagues. What is the guarantee? What is the assurance that I am going to go back to God? We are doing the same job. Everyone cannot live in the temple full time. People are working outside. Majority of our congregation is outside. And hardly there are 7-10 people who are full time serving in temple. So what is the assurance? This purport is the assurance. Prabhupada gives. That even though the place, time, cause, ambition, result, everything of the endeavor may come as same in terms of salary, position, power. But what the devotee achieves out of that, because he is very much centered around the desire, fulfilling the desire of the Supreme Lord and the Parampara, it's guaranteed that a devotee has to go back to God. And the Lord is always there to give special protection and act partially towards his devotees, even though he is Samahamsa Rasudesh, even though he is equal to everyone. So this pastime of Rahu gives a very great insight on how Lord can change many things just to fulfill the needs of his devotees. So that's a great assurance for us. So I just these a few things I just wanted to discuss from this pastime. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments you can discuss? Yes.
Thank you for the class. Prabhu, you mindful of the verse in Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter, there's a verse that there are five things that decide every action. The person, endeavor, senses, place, and vaibhav, which is the mercy of the Lord. So in this case, it was nice and clear example that the Lord's mercy was the difference with the demons turning
up.
With devotees like us, how is it right that we depend solely on the mercy of the Lord, or on the other aspects we have to put some work? Or
so all the five endeavors we have to depend on, of course. Nahi suttasya simhasya pravishyanti mukhendriyam. If a lion is sleeping, even the deer will not enter the mouth. So even though that example is used in terms of explaining law of karma, but for us to attain some devotional credits also, the same principle is applied, that we just act with a clear mentality that how my actions are going to please the Supreme Lord, my Guru, senior devotees. And then rest result comes from the Supreme Lord. So if you see carefully the law of karma and devotional service in terms of principle, in terms of how one acts and one receives reward, appears very similar. But there is something very transcendental that takes place in devotional service. And when you speak about karma, the individual person is solely responsible of his or her action. And it's a set automated law that takes place, that is already designed, which grants the result. But when it comes to devotional service, the Supreme Lord personally can change things around for the individual devotee, and that is something very special, and that is how a personal relationship with the Lord works. You know, there is no set pattern the Lord follows when it comes to devotional service. So as long as we do our bit based on our what we say, contamination, the process of cleaning the Lord will decide. And we do choose what way He wants to clean us, what way He wants to purify us. And that is very personal. That is something that is completely His priority, and He decides, He chooses. Whereas in terms of normal karmi people, non-devotees, it's a fixed system. It's a very fixed system. Certain action is going to produce certain reaction. But for devotees, it's very different. So yes, we have to still endeavor. We still have to use our senses. And yes, of course, mercy of the Supreme Lord is our very holding factor. Hello? Yes, ma'am.
I was trying to understand that the seminar you said about demons disguised as a devotees. So in this 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, demonic and divine nature, and I suppose that many of us are still struggling with that.
Oh, yeah.
Can we understand that demon disguised as a devotee is applicable in that way? And how that can be understood?
Oh, yeah, when it says karmis disguised as devotees, using Krishna's property for their personal sense gratification, it doesn't equate to the struggling devotees who are sincere in their heart, but due to their previous contamination, previous baggage, are not purified yet to act purely. It's very different. And that's why I said in the previous question when Mataji asked, that the Supreme Lord deals very personally with all individual devotees because He knows in and out what's going on. When Prabhupada makes that point that the karmis are disguised as devotees, that is for someone who comes with a very clear motive to cheat. And there are many people who have entered our movement also, where they wanted, they just became devotee for some position. Many people are joining, especially in places where poverty is there, because they know at least my need for food is done. I myself know, many years back I was in one of the temples and one of the gates came where this person was very enthusiastic. Everything was there. I was watching it from last couple of years also with all the programs and all. And suddenly they found out that he had a complete plan. And the plan was just to come to some position and then steal money and get out. And he was caught and they asked him to leave. Whereas we've seen that some devotees have fallen to these weaknesses, but knowing the intention, the spiritual master forgives them and they continue their devotional service and they become purified. I don't know whether you are aware of it or not, but one terrorist disguised as devotee from Pakistan, from ISI, came and joined as a brahmachari in one of our Islam temple a few years back. Now he was a saffron shaven head brahmachari. Imagine getting up every day morning, following the whole process, going on sankirtan, everything he was doing, but how well trained he must be, that he was very clear what his agenda was. And somehow through some intelligence report, Indian police found out, they arrested him from our temple. So very much like Rahul disguised as demigod. So now one can say, oh, he would have got some benefit, but yes, but come imagine, see what intention he came with. Whereas there are devotees who may be struggling with their senses for years and years, for 2 decades, 3 decades, there must be relapses happening, falling down again to their sinful activities. But again trying to lift them up. Again, push through the thick forest of sense enjoyment, and they really want to achieve some purity. But there is no comparison. That's why Krishna is very personal in his dealing with devotees, and he deals with individually with every one of us. So. So hope that answers the difference what you are asking for. The purport Prabhupada is asking for these cheaters who are actually Rahu, demons, but just disguised as devotee for some ulterior motive. Intention is very important actually. Intention is most important is intention. Actions will follow the intentions gradually.
Hare Krishna, Nanda Jai Bhagavan Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.